Well, welcome back. Welcome anew to the Further Faster podcast. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and I will be your guide, your host, and maybe even your mentor for this next little while on doing exactly what the name implies. And that is to assist you in going further faster, in becoming wealthy. And around here, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. And today, I'm going to share with you something that it was brought to my attention many, many years ago by one of my mentors, and that is the whole concept of beliefs. More specifically, your own beliefs about yourself and what you're capable of and what I call your psychology. So the title of today's talk is Don't Believe Everything You Believe. So grab a pad and paper, and I'll be right back to share with you some of your own beliefs. I'll see you in just a few minutes. Well, welcome back. So when you hear the word psychology, what does that mean to you? For most of us, it conjures up, you know, a guy with a pipe, you know, and a goatee sitting bedside, or shall I say chair side, to somebody laying out on a couch, and that person pouring out their heart, their problems and their challenges to that psychologist or that psychiatrist, and them helping them get over things. And if you've been around me for any length of time, you know that I always use simplicity, and that simplicity is the key, is the name of the game, because complexity is the enemy of execution. And around here, we always say that unless you do something, you're not going to get something. That's how you go further, is by action and activity, not just thinking about something. So to simplify that word, psychology around here just means our consistent thoughts that we have about ourselves, about other people, and our environment, say the world around us. And those consistent thoughts can be conscious or unconscious. When they are unconscious, they're actually what we call a belief. When they are unconscious, they are ones that we, and I should say other than conscious instead of unconscious, other than conscious, meaning you're not aware that you're thinking those things. And this human brain, this 9 pounds or 6 pounds of let's just say fatty material inside your head there, is constantly making associations, making neuro associations, connecting from the past to the present, to the future, all of those things going on. It's running this magnificent body that we have nonstop, billions of cells doing all kinds of different things. And it all comes down to this command center, this 6 inches of real estate between our ears. But did you ever stop to think about, outside of those automatic things that happen automatically, like our heart beating and our cells dividing and things like that, what is it that causes these other thoughts to happen and stay in place, consciously or other than consciously? And the answer to that question is that, with the exception of a very, very few things, everything that we think, we have learned. We have been taught and we have learned. Said differently, when the baby gazelle hits the ground after being born, it instinctively knows that it has to either stay hidden or stand up and walk. Birds fly south for the winter. Animals do all kinds of things because they have instinct in them. You don't have to tell them things. They have those things inside them. And so many things that, for example, a bird or a lizard gets born and it never, ever gets to see or meet its parents. It's on its own from the time a turtle comes out. It's on its own from the very time it's born. That is the way with a lot of things in nature. Human beings, not so much. As a matter of fact, out of all of the animals, in the animal kingdom on the planet here, human beings are the one that remains the most dependent on somebody else for its emotional and physical needs. Said differently, if it doesn't have somebody there to take care of it, to feed it, to love it, then it will die, period. Longer than any other animal. I think it's only second to the elephant. I think the elephant is like 3 or 4 years or something like that. But a baby elephant can feed itself. It can tear shrubs out of the ground and eat. Human beings, not so much. The reason I share all of that stuff with you is human beings come into this existence with only a very few instincts. And we call those needs and fears. It has the need, only has two needs and one fear. The two needs are, one is the need, obviously, for self-preservation, to avoid pain, because pain could result in death. And self-preservation is the name of the game. Every animal has that. So a baby will do things, you know, it'll push your hand out of the way, or it'll cry out when it's hurt or whatever. The second need that it has is the need to grow and learn. And we witness that because babies are constantly grabbing things, putting them in their mouths and doing things, experimenting things, even though they don't know, because we assume that instinctively somewhere inside that baby knows that at some point it is going to have to be self-sufficient. So it has to find ways of learning about the world around us. The only fear that the human being has, and I'm saying as a baby, is the fear of being left alone for all the reasons that I said before. Because the baby knows that if it's left alone, it will die. And that fear turns into what we call the fear of rejection, which turns out to be the number one fear of human beings. So why am I telling you all of this? Because underneath all of that stuff, underneath all of that, all of the needs, all of the fears, and especially the fear, that baby has to have an opinion of itself, a belief of itself. Said differently, a belief of its worth on this planet. Now, obviously, babies don't sit down and figure out, you know, or even have a language in saying that. It is an instinct. It is a feeling that they have inside. But let it be no mistake that that baby is feeling in some part that I am worth it. I am worth it to be loved. I am worth it to be paid attention to. I am worth it to be fed. I'm worth it to be all. And those are that baby's beliefs at its simplest form. And if you strip everything away and we look at all the things that I said before, maybe that's the only belief that this child really has in the very beginning. Because when it comes kicking and screaming into this world, it doesn't have an experience of anything else. It carries with it. Now, I should say this. Yes, babies instinctively know how to swim, but that's self-preservation. And think about this. Within just a very few months, that baby is afraid of water. That baby cannot swim. And many, many babies, unfortunately, die every year because that instinct is gone. But if you take a brand new baby and throw it in the water, obviously you're not going to do that. And I've even seen, you should see this, it's fascinating on YouTube, babies being born underwater. The mother gives birth underwater and the baby literally swims to the top, floats on its own back takes its own first breath. And again, self-preservation. Inside that baby is going, I am worth it. I am worth it. Well, what comes along in our lives are we are given evidence that maybe we're not. We're given evidence that, you know what, you can wait. We're given evidence that there's something wrong with you if you don't perform this way, if you don't stand up and walk right away, if you don't get good grades in school and so on and so forth. And all along the way, people say things to us and things happen to us that starts to chip away at that self-worthiness, if you will, that I am worthy. And that comes down to, again, because it's unconscious in nature, because it's other than conscious in nature, especially when we start to put words to it, it becomes a belief. Now, my dear friend, business partner, Tony Robbins, for years and years, we've been saying that that a belief is nothing more than a feeling of certainty about something. And what is a feeling? It's just an emotion. You are sure of this thing. It's an unquestioned belief, if you will, an unquestioned statement, if you will. And what happens is as human beings, the way we learn things, if you will. And by the way, if you think about it, you believe that you can drive a car, ride a bicycle, spell your own name, or any of the things that you do automatically without you having to think about it, meaning that it's unconscious in nature. It has happened because of one of two things, one of two ways we learn these things. We learn it through extreme emotional intensity during that time of learning and or repetition. I say and or because you can learn something can be repeated over and over and you don't get it, but then something gets repeated one time and there's either a lot of pain or a lot of pleasure attached to that time and we remember it forever. It becomes a belief. For example, when you're a baby, you walk over because you got those baby genes inside of you, yeah? And you got that need to grow and learn and you put your hand on the hot stove, it burns you. That's immense, intense pain in that moment. and it releases all of the cortisol and adrenaline and all of those things, and sparks our brain to go to go into what we call the fight or flight mode. And what happens is our brain goes, okay, that's a lot of intention or a lot of emotion in that moment, a lot of pain, what goes on in that moment. Our sympathetic nervous system goes, don't do that again. So we learn a lifelong lesson in that moment because there was a lot of a pain. You didn't have to do it 10, 15 times. One time did it because there was intense emotion. Well, the same thing happens on the pleasurable side. Something really pleasurable happens and your brain still says, and by the way, instead of cortisol and all the adrenaline and things that happen, and instead of attacking our sympathetic nervous system or sparking our sympathetic nervous system, our parasympathetic nervous system gets sparked and dopamine gets released and our brain goes, hey, what just happened right before that? Let's do it again. And remembers it for the rest of your life. And we develop these pathways. Well, along the way, if somebody, let's just say in third grade, you got up to give a, you know, read your book report in front of the classroom and you stumbled over some words and everybody laughed at you and they called you stumbly or whatever, and then that was intense pain. And guess what happens? Now you've attached that to this fear of rejection because you got rejected, which is the number one fear of human beings. And then guess what? For the rest of your life, you got fear of speaking in front of other people. Stage fright, they call it. Now, the reason I'm sharing all of these things, it's synonymous with everything that we do in our lives. And in that moment, I'll use that as an example of stage fright. Because what happens is in that moment, we have a belief that there's something wrong with us because we got laughed at, because we got rejected, because we got teased, we felt that pain. And we learn that lesson for the rest of our lives. And we have a belief inside of us now that there's something wrong with us and we should never do this again. And every time that opportunity comes up or that situation comes up where you have to speak up, guess what happened? This heart starts pounding, the sympathetic nervous system, fight or flight. I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm not going to do this because you have a belief inside of you that you're not worthy, that there's something wrong with you. Now, is that belief true? No. The only thing that's true about that situation is you stumbled over your words and some people laughed at you. But we develop that belief and we have that belief for the rest of our lives. And again, I hope you're getting it, that is synonymous with so many other things in our lives. And if you sit down and you think about it, matter of fact, a good question to ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? Not the kind of question that we always, you know, that we promote on this show. But if you sit down and you think, what am I afraid of? Or what stands in between me and getting what I want? What stands in between me and going and asking this man or woman for a date or going up and asking my boss for a raise or doing anything that we want or starting this business or doing whatever? I promise you, at the bottom of that is a belief. And it's a belief about yourself, meaning it is an unquestioned statement that you have about yourself. Now, here's what I'm saying is that we don't always have it all spelled out in our brain and know exactly what it is. It is just there. And so I said at the beginning of this, don't believe everything that you believe. What does that mean? Then is it possible? And I'll put it this way. And I've gone through this so many times. I'll tell you a real quick story, something that just happened to me just a little while ago. And I'm pulling back the curtain and exposing myself on this and becoming vulnerable. I have, for the past almost 3 years, have had trouble sleeping. And it happened because COVID. Now, prior to COVID, I was working every month. I was traveling and I was in another country or another state or something at least once a month, sometimes two or three times. So my sleep schedule was just crazy. And I worked it to where I would do two things. I would always sleep on the airplanes. And then whenever I would get to where I'm going, because I slept on the airplane, I was, you know, if I had to get off the airplane and get right on stage, I'm wide awake. If I got there late at night, even though I slept on the plane, I would still go to sleep. And I was a famous sleeper. Matter of fact, I would jokingly tell the flight attendants, I'm going to be asleep before this thing gets off the ground. And sure enough, it was. The next time I'd wake up is when the plane hit the ground. And I don't care if I'm flying to Australia, which is 13, 14 hours from Los Angeles. I would sleep 90% of the time. When I was at home, I would go right to sleep. I'd stay asleep. Every once in a while, I'd wake up and go to the bathroom. But for the most part, I'd stay asleep entire time all the way through. I had this identity, which is, just so you know, a belief a psychology about myself that I am a famous sleeper. I have no trouble sleeping. I sleep. Well, when COVID happened, guess what? All of my events went away. Not some of them, not most of them, all of them went away in terms of my travel. So I was home 100% of the time, like most of us. For 2 years, I was home. And what happened was I started to develop a regular sleep pattern. I would go to sleep at a certain time and I would wake up at a certain time, the same time every day. And because I hadn't been that way for, honestly, 3 decades, something happened to me. And that is, I would go to sleep, but then I'd wake up an hour later. I'd stay awake for an hour and then I'd go back to sleep. I'd wake up again in an hour, maybe an hour and a half later, and I'd stay awake for an hour and I'd go back to sleep. And this went on over and over until I woke up in the morning. Now, because I was home, I had more time to sleep and I was in bed for longer periods of time, 7, 8 hours, but it was terrible sleep. Now, knowing this, I know the quality of our sleep is also going to affect our health. It was bothering me. Now, in the beginning, I would get up. I'd go, hey, well, something's going on. This is blah, blah. And my brain would start to go crazy. And I started to realize, okay, wait a minute, this isn't good for me either. Either get up or meditate or whatever. And I stopped stressing while I was awake, but I was still awake. And every morning I'd wake up and I'd look at my clock and I'd realize that, you know, here's this time in the morning, I've got stuff I've got to do. And I haven't had enough sleep. And therefore, during the day, I was not operating at my best because I knew that I was not getting enough sleep. Well, recently, I acquired a machine. And you heard, matter of fact, we did a podcast on it. If you can, matter of fact, it was just the last podcast that we did with Jim and Jim from the Biocharger organization. And it is this machine. I'm not going to go into the details. Go back and listen to the podcast. And it is this machine that actually replicates the sun and it puts out different forms of electromagnetic energy, energizing your body and all these things. And it has all these different programs for different areas. Well, I told the physician, because you get a consultation with somebody when you get this thing. And I said, well, yeah, I'm having trouble sleeping. And she said, okay, we'll use this program. And I used the program. I did it for about 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, we had the consultation again. And she says, well, how are you doing? And I go, well, you know what? I did notice that I'm starting to sleep a little bit better, but I'm still waking up. And she says, okay, I want you to get this ring. And the ring is called an Aura ring. And by the way, this is not some advertisement for either one of these machines. I get nothing from either one of them. However, I do recommend them. Now, an Aura ring, what it does, and it's spelled A-U-R-A, it measures and tracks your sleep. Now, when she said, get one, I thought, okay, well, why? You know, I know that I go to sleep and I wake up, I stay awake for an hour, go to sleep within 1 hour. And she goes, just get it. And I said, okay. And I get it. Now, the first night I used it, I go to sleep. And again, you'll go back because I actually told a little bit of this story on when I did the podcast last time with the thing. And so it showed my sleep. And sure enough, well, first off, it shows that my sleep was about 63% effective, which is terrible. Terrible. And on it, it shows how much you stayed awake and blah, 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 or how long, you know, what kind of sleep you had. And it shows in red lines or blue lines. And mine was like 90% all red lines, but it did show that I was waking up. But one of the greatest things about it was I looked at it and it showed how long I stayed awake. And the truth of the matter is, yes, I was waking up every hour or so, but I was only awake for at the most about 10 minutes because it's very accurate. It tells me. And all of a sudden, my brain changed. And I went, well, wait a minute. I hear all this time, I'm thinking I'm awake for an hour and I'm only asleep for 50. I'm only awake for 10 minutes. The very next night, my sleep went up to 92%, 92 or 93%. And it was all blue. Said differently. The reason I share all of that was because my belief was that I was awake all of this time. My belief was that I was not getting enough sleep. My belief was that I was doing this when the truth of the matter is my belief was not serving me. So I was tired during the day. I was going through all of these things for only because of a belief that I was having about me. My words about me. And the only thing that changed the next night was when I did wake up, I just remembered that, wait a minute, I was wrong. I was only awake for 10 minutes. This is going to be okay. And not only did I, because it showed the same thing, I did wake up. And by the way, the machine has been working like crazy. Now I'm not waking up hardly at all. But what happened was, even though I was waking up, I was going right back to sleep, right back to sleep. And I was getting deeper and more quality sleep. All of this to say, all of us have beliefs about ourselves. All of us have a psychology about ourselves. All of us have a psychology about other people. All of us have a psychology about the world around us. And it is worth questioning whether it's true or not. It is worth questioning whether this is serving you and your dreams, your goals, and your outcomes or not. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you a really simple tool that you can do to go back and not so much question them, but go back and create new beliefs that are going to serve you. Because most of us, and it's a very, very simple tool, most of us, A, we never even consider that. Most of us never even think that. And most of us have a conversation that, again, it's other than conscious about ourselves, that is not so healthy at all. As a matter of fact, it will denigrate our health, as I said with what I was about my sleep. It denigrates our ability to do something. It denigrates everything in our lives. And it is absolutely worth it to go back, and I say go back, to take a look at what is causing us to be this way. So I will be right back, and I'm going to talk to you about how and what to do about those beliefs that are not serving. I'll be right back. Hey, what's good? It's me, Joseph McClendon III. And let me get real with you just for a second. Now, you've probably heard me talk about this before, something that I call the thieves of our dreams. Procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, and fear of rejection. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you could not only retrain your brain and your nervous system to automatically default to your absolute best thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, but you could also do the same for others that are going through difficult times and challenges in their own lives and things that are stopping them from creating the life of their desires? Well, this is what I call neuroencoding. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, these are the same tools, methods, and strategies in neuroscience that I've used to operate in the upper 5% of all of my own businesses, especially as a coach, a speaker, and a presenter for the last 30 plus years. The Neuroencoding Institute provides you with the knowledge, the tools, and unmatched support to become a certified neuroencoding specialist and guide you to the life of wealthiness. And remember, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. Go to neuroencoding.com to speak to an enrollment specialist today, and I look forward to serving you at the highest level.
You're enjoying this episode on Angel Phoenix Productions Podcast Network. To explore our complete lineup of quality programs and media production services, head on over to angelphoenix.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Angel Phoenix Productions.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. I am right back at you. And before the break, we talked about the quality of our beliefs. And truth be told, most of us, and self included, like I told you about in the example of me with sleep, we don't know these things are going on and we don't inspect these things. But I'm going to give you a couple questions to ask yourself. And then I'm going to give you something that you can do. Now, the whole outcome is for you not just to question your beliefs, but have a look at what really goes on, what your opinion about yourself, what your opinion is about other people, what your opinion is about the world around you, because most of us never do. And then once we find those things out, then we can do something about it. And so it's going to involve some introspection, another, you know, digging a little bit deeper and taking a few moments and taking a look at some things. And I will warn you ahead of time, it might not feel that comfortable in the very beginning. But if you've been around me at all, you know that uncomfortableness is the gateway to your dreams, goals, and desires, is the gateway to getting what you want, is the gateway to going further, faster. When we're uncomfortable, we're about ready to break through to something. Everything in our lives that we've done comes down to when we get, we don't move away from uncomfortable moments, we push through it. You know, an example I like to use, and by the way, that's the way it is. Everything in nature, works that way. Your cells divide because of pressure, because of uncomfortableness. All of a sudden, if you look at it under a microscope, you see cells dividing, it's just vibrating like that. There's pressure, and then boom, all of a sudden now there's two of them, and then vibrating, boom, now there's four of them, and then now there's eight of them, and so on and so forth. Everything, just the process of elimination with us as human beings. What happens? You get pressure, you get uncomfortableness, and then you go relieve yourself and you feel better. And all of those things in life, the way that we learn, the way that we go through things. Now, understand this, that we learn, matter of fact, I'm going to give you the opportunity before I tell you what it is. You know what it is. Finish this statement. We learn from our... Okay, that's long enough. Yeah. If you're like most people, you say we learn from our mistakes. And just like I shared with you earlier about you learn by sticking your hand in the fire, that was a mistake, and you learn you'll never do that again. And this is absolutely true. We do learn from our mistakes, but we grow from our successes. What's the difference? The difference is when you do something, like I said, it's pain and pleasure. It's pain and pleasure. Are you going to learn from your mistake? The answer is yes. You're never going to do that again. You learn never to do that again. But learning to never do something again is like looking at, if you're looking at me right now, there's the color blue behind me and saying, don't think about the color blue. Or if I tell you right now, don't think about elephants. You know, you don't think about elephants. You have to think about an elephant. And so what you do is you're always aware of not to stick your hand in fire. That's great. But what are you not aware of that's going to help you? And the reason I say that is that we grow from our successes. Think about it like this. You move to the next rung in the ladder by pushing off the one before. The baby that stands up and falls over, it learns, of course, don't, you know, do what it did before to fall over. But it also somewhere in its brain goes, hey, I did it. I took a couple of steps. And guess what? The baby grows from that and keeps on doing it till pretty soon the baby walks and talks. That is synonymous with everything in our lives. Everything that has made you grow in your life is because you succeeded at it at least once. Said differently, you got some pleasure. Said differently, you had that aha moment that your eyebrows came up and you went, oh, I did it. And as soon as that happened, let's go back to the mechanics side of it. As soon as that happens, dopamine gets released. The parasympathetic nervous system gets activated, and we go, let's do it again. And that's how we keep on growing and keep going forward. All of that to say that when things are uncomfortable, which they may be when I give you these questions that you ask yourself, when they're uncomfortable, instead of going, I don't want to do this, stop and take a deep breath and go, oh, I'm going to grow from this. And that act alone is an act of success because you moved on beyond uncomfortableness. Therefore, the next time it comes around, it'll be easier for you to step up and go after something. Now, the question that I want you to ask yourself is this, not what are you afraid of? Because listen, we can sit all day long and you'd be laid down on my couch in my office. We'd go through all day long a thousand different things that you'd be afraid of. So instead, I want you to ask yourself this question. And I want you to, in a matter of fact, the way I want you to ask yourself this question, I want you to do it in front of a mirror. Okay. The question is this: what do I think of myself? And ask that question over and over again. Because the first time you might go, well, I think I'm okay. And then ask, what do I really think of myself? And peel all that stuff away. Because here's what is going to happen. If you're being honest with yourself, you're going to come down to something that I'm not smart enough, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. There are very few people on the planet, self included, by the way, and I do this for a living, that can do that exercise and come away with absolutely nothing that is negative about themselves. And I want you to write those things down, because those are the things that are the things that the belief about yourself that hinders you. Now, all of us, all human beings have things going on that denigrate us, all of us. That's part of being human beings. And as you ask that question and you write a couple of those things down, let's just say I'm not smart enough, or I'm too fat, or I don't have whatever that you've written down. The next question is, the next question is, how is that statement wrong? How is that statement wrong? Now, remember, if you're seeing me live, you're seeing my hands go together. To remember something means to put back together. To dismember means to take apart. I don't care whatever it is that you come up with. There is something inside of, there was a time in your life that you were not that. And there was a time in that life that that statement was not true. And so what happens is, as you start to search for those things, as you ask that question, how is that statement not true? Or when has that statement not been true? Your brain has to start searching. And the searching process is the growing process, is the learning process. And what happens is your brain starts to go, aha, aha. And I hearken it back, or I go back to what I said about when I had that aha moment myself. The Joseph McClendon III, who always tells people, beware of your thoughts, and that your thoughts control your emotions, and your emotions control your habits, and your habits control what you're going to do. I, even at this late stage in my life and in my career, still was falling prey to something that I was believing. Anything that you say after I is a belief that you have about yourself. And so when your brain starts to search and find what times that that wasn't true, then guess what happens? Let's go back through the mechanics. Your eyebrows go up, you go, aha, oh, aha. And when you do, you reward yourself and your brain starts to go, what's not true like that? So you're questioning that belief. Now, some of you are going to go, but the more you start to look for it, then what's going to happen is your brain is going to start making those. And remember, we move towards pleasure and away from pain. And as you start to do those, the next question that you ask is, what is a better belief to have? What is a better belief for me to have about me? And you might say something that, you know what? The journey starts here today. Or you might say something like, you know what? I've learned before, I can learn again. I'm just starting. I am good enough. I am. Whatever goes on, that conversation, the repetition of that conversation, guess what happens? Starts to develop a new belief. And you write that down. And then the next step is so unbelievably simple, it is ridiculous. And that is, get up in the morning, look yourself in the eyes, and you've heard me say this before, say your name and say, I love you. And then just read that statement that you wrote. I am good enough. I'm amazing. I'm this, I'm that. And what happens is all of the mechanics start to work. You telling you that you are amazing. You telling you that you are good enough. You telling you that, yeah, maybe I've made some mistakes, but it's from this point forward. You telling you that, you start to, wait for it, believe it. And once you start to believe it, it becomes other than conscious and it becomes who you are. This simple, simple, unbelievably simple exercise is a way of embedding a belief inside of you. And notice I didn't say, let's go back and find all the terrible things about you and all these terrible beliefs. I'm just saying, let's just find one, two, or three, and it'll have a global effect on you, meaning it'll start to affect all areas of your life. Repetition is the mother of all skill. Guess what the father is? Praise. So when you're done all of that stuff and you found all that stuff, pat yourself on the back, put a smile on your face, give yourself some sort of reward for having done it. And your nervous system will quickly learn that this is the direction that I want to go. This is the direction that I should go in. And what happens is you start to shift your, wait for it, I said it at the very beginning of the podcast, your psychology. Because guess what happens? If you believe better about yourself, or I should say when you believe better things about yourself, you will automatically start believing better things about other people. You will automatically start believing better things about other people, about the world around you, your environment, and you become optimistic. You have more options. Try this exercise. Try this exercise and do it and let me know how it works for you, because I've been doing this and teaching this for many, many years, and you would be astonished at the changes that happen with people. It starts to be other than conscious. You start to have these better beliefs. You start to feel better. You start to move better. You start to do things better. And always remember this, that life is always exactly what you dare to make it. And fortune favors the bold. And the trick to life is to always bold up, and step up and dare to make your life magnificent. This is Further Faster. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and I will see you at the top.
This podcast was a production of Angel Phoenix Productions. Explore more episodes of this show or other great shows on the Angel Phoenix Podcast Network by visiting angelphoenix.com. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of Angel Phoenix Productions or its advertisers, and may contain language that's unsuitable for younger listeners.